If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting from beautiful South Bermondsey, this is Achtung Millwall.
Down the middle. He's got Elliot overlapping him. Can he find him?
Yes! Jim Wallace! 4-3! Neil Gregory! No, Jim Wallace! Lee Gregory! It's back inside to the middle! 4-3! Roy's the game of death! What a game! What a game! What entertainment! What drama!
Good evening and welcome, dear listeners. Welcome to an early spring night at the Den, South Bermondsey, for the visit of QPR and what is being billed as a critical championship fixture tonight. My name is Nick Hart. You are listening, of course, to Achtung Millwall, the number one Millwall podcast, but you know that already. Neil Harris names an unchanged 11 from that fantastic win over West Brom last Saturday. Against our relegation, are they rivals yet? They will be if we can beat them tonight. That is the critical nature now of the final, what is it, five or six games now to go for Millwall. I think we're on 40, so it'll be six games. A big game if we can pull it off tonight. 3 points will pull QPR into the relegation mire and put some nice clear blue water between us and hopefully a losing Rotherham side tonight. It's that kind of business end of the season, dear listeners, where you're looking at other teams' results. Not least Rotherham, who play Aston Villa tonight. So that's a game that we want them to lose resoundingly. So I suppose for one night only, it's come on Aston Villa. But QPR wearing a peculiar fuchsia kit, kind of like a variation on a pink meets red, dark blue shorts, lines in their familiar blue and white. Denny's filling up. It's a cool night. It's not cold. It's not warm. It's that kind of night. Still light the sky because we're now just past the British summertime, but the floodlights illuminating the green of the Den's pitch. So the Lions come into tonight's proceedings in 20th position, 39 games in actual fact. Forgive me, dear listeners, my memory fails me at this advanced age. 40 points in 20th position. Below us are Reading, who are playing Norwich away tonight, so let's hope for a resounding Canaries win. Then Rotherham, as we said already, at home to Villa. On 39 points, so just 1 point separating us, although we do have an advantageous goal difference. Above us, Wigan on 19 and QPR in 18th position on 44 points. So a win tonight for the Lions really will push us up and then downwards, which is what we want. Have you ever seen a fuchsia kit before? I know some of the Italian sides back in the days used to have pink as one of their colours. I did in Juventus playing a pink alternate. I've got an idea, Palermo playing pink. It's not a colour generally seen in English football. The Lions will be attacking the away end in the first half, as is right and proper under English law and legislation since Anglo-Saxon times, recorded by the Venerable Bede himself, dear listeners, and Mill will attack the away end in the first half, so it'll be QPR to kick us off. And away we go. QPR with an early punt straight down the middle. And the ball falls to one of the midfielders with an early high punt high over the bar. It would have been a point after touchdown in the NFL, dear listeners. No danger in English football, however. Lions lost a reverse fixture earlier in the season, 2-0 at QPR, so chance for revenge tonight. Goals from Luongo and Etse, 30-32 in that fixture at Loftus Road earlier in the season. Just occurred to me, I haven't run you through the starting 11, I'm expecting to know. It's David Martin, long ball forwards towards Ben Thompson up front. So yeah, Martin in goal, and Cooper, Pierce, Marlon and James Meredith, who played very well, I thought, on Saturday in the back nine defence. Midfield has been that overperforming Tunnicliffe, Leonard and Ben Thompson trio. On the wings, Jed Wallace, Ben Marshall, and up front, the Lone Ranger, Lee Gregory's. His line's coming down the left side on 1.5 minutes, blocked there by the QPR defence. Rangers with a ball in from the left side. That's a shot on the volley, taken nicely actually, he's on target and saved nicely by David Martin. It was a left side cross, caught on the volley by the striker, straight at goal, and taken quite nicely by David Martin in the middle goal. Chance, I'd say, for Rangers, an early chance. QPR come into today's game on the back of without a win in five. Last two games have been lost. The Lions obviously with that fine win over West Brom last Saturday. Crowd getting behind the Lions. It's filling up. It's not a full house by any stretch of the imagination tonight. A lot of empty seats around. Some early committed full-blooded tackles flying in out there, dear listeners. I know it's a London derby. Does it feel like a London derby to you, QPR? They're not a team that's ever really featured on the Millwall radar as such, other than just the mere fact of their existence in West London. But I wouldn't put them in the same category as, say, a Chelsea or an Arsenal or a West Ham in the Millwall lexicon. Queen's Park Rangers managed by John Eustace, who was a midfielder, I believe, at Derby, and I think started at Coventry, Stoke, I believe, as well, since the sacking of Steve McLaren, the former England coach. Another failed managerial attempt by Steve McLaren. Strange character, McLaren. I've always thought he should be a lot better. Some say he's a better coach than a manager, a main man. That ball comes back to Dave Martin, appeals for a pass back there by QPR, but no dice from the referee. The Wally with a Brolly, of course, famously, Steve McLaren here, who sacked on April Fool's Day. At the moment, Eustace is taking the role of caretaker manager, so if he wants any kind of case to be made for his appointment, probably a win tonight will make it. In comes that ball towards Jake Cooper, manhandled, as we'll expect. That's gone for a Rangers throw. 6.5 minutes. Used to be a newspaper cartoon called Useless Eustace. I can't remember what it involved. It was was it Daily Express that had Useless Eustace or the Daily Mirror? I don't know what that. Oh, it's his name, isn't it? It's John Eustace. So Useless Eustace. I'll have to look that one up on Google to see what that was all about. One from the archaic pass there. Rangers throwing again. No, should have another chance for a long throw. That was a fairly decent long throw they've got there. Headed up. That was a Rangers head that got to that one. It's had us in trouble. So it's a useful tactic. I always think our long throws aren't really long throws. Our ones just about make it to the 6-yard line. And that long throw there was deep into the heart of the goal mouth. So that's the kind of long throw we really want. Maybe that's yet another point for the recruitment team to pick up on over the course of the summertime. Full of good ideas as to what the recruitment team ought to be doing. And I notice around the internet and the website, so are a lot of other people too, stacks and stacks of good ideas as to what the Millwall recruitment team should be up to. I hope they read them all. 10 minutes. It's been a fairly quiet 10 minutes for the Millwall side of things. So far, I would say Cooper have had the better proceedings. They've certainly have more of the football. And this is another chance to get the ball into the mix from the right side, about halfway inside the middle half. Free kick. Here it comes. Deep, deep, deep into the centre. It's cleared away. Shot from the way outside the area. That's high over the bar. Did you see the news today? The images of the black hole photographed for the first time by a NASA team, or spread around astronomy telescopes around the world. First image of a black hole, supersized black hole, some far, far distant place in the universe. I'm sure I could see inside it the £1 million that Ian Holloway got paid to go away. I think that's lurking in that black hole somewhere. It's a nervy start by the Lions. I suppose this is a game that we're expected to win. Are we expected to win this one? We certainly desperately want to win it. The game against West Brom felt a bit like a bonus, Bruce bonus. This one feels more like a game that we really do have to win. It will certainly put QPR into the mire with us and put us away and bring them down. Free kick for Millwall just inside their own half. Lee Gregory getting clattered there, coming towards 13 minutes. Lumped forward by QPR into the central part of Mill defence. That's going to be clear. The free kick's actually conceded. Lions want to take it quickly. They do take it quickly. Break forwards towards Lee Gregory. Ball over the top. He's pushed from behind. That crowd howling. It looked like he pushed for me. Lions was not given it. That should have been a free kick. That could have been a sending off. Could have, should have. This is QPR back on the break forwards. That's a shot into the big, oh, great tackle, great tackle by James Meredith. It fell to the Rangers strike on the right side. Mill players speaking to the referee, crowd howling as you can hear. Look like a push from where I'm standing. Should have been a free kick, should have been a sending off. Lions crowd incensed by that decision, or that non-decision. Mill Harris pictured on the giant screen, muttering to himself, I dare say. Anglo-Saxon may be employed there. All breaks, free kick given. The referee now starting to really get on the wick of the middle of the stadium. Almost the moment where it broke for Gregory Wallace overlapping on the right side, but the free kick given to QPR. Wonderful tweet incidentally from, I think it's one of the features there, this is with the Washington Post, who was in the ground on Saturday, up in the East Upper, I think, judging by the video that he's posted. And a free kick finally for Millwall. Lee Gregory under some close attention on the right side. Crowd howling for a free kick, and they get it. There's a bit chance of Millwall cross the ball in on the right. Probably about just a few yards short of the line of the penalty area. Referee's having a word with the man. What's he going to? Yellow card. Yeah, the American, David Mallett's features editor with the Washington Post, posted how much he enjoyed being up in the East Upper. He enjoyed the vile chants, 90 minutes of vile chanting at the away fans, and how great it is compared with the US sporting experience. The Washington Wizards, I think he compared it to unfavourably. A bit of a kerfuffle afterwards where people, I think, misread what his feelings were. He actually enjoyed himself. Anyone that misread that tweet, I don't know, he could misread it, but yes, he enjoyed himself. It was in our favour. It wasn't against us. Any road, come towards 24 minutes. It's going to be a right side free kick for the Lions. It's going to be Ben Marshall who takes it. Swung into the middle. It's headed and it's gone wide. Where do you stand, dear listener, on the whole subject of tourism at the Den? Last Saturday's game, I mentioned it in my show. Others mentioned it around the Twitter scene about the number of TripAdvisor foreign tourists in the Den. I don't think there were many games on in London last Saturday, so we seem to have an inordinate amount of foreign tourists. I don't personally mind it, personally. I mean, it just made me laugh because there's quite a few family groups from, I think they might be France, French football fans, come to see a game. And they decided to come to Millwall, so God knows what they made of the vile chanting. This is Ben Marshall in from the left. That cross is short, unfortunately. 26 and a half minutes. But I think we do feature on TripAdvisor as one of the old London destinations worth checking out if you're on holiday in the Big Smoke. So it's all good from my point of view. It's numbers in the ground. I've seen no signs yet of the club being sanitised as a result. No one's taking selfie photos with the stars of the Premier League on the by the pitch. So as it is, you know, it's money in the bank, and they spend at the club shop. So all good stuff from my point of view. But how do you feel? How do you feel? Is your identity reduced as a consequence? That's what I want to know. You can talk to me. It's Nick. You can talk to me. Let me know. We're just running into doubling up defence at the moment. We're not finding much space. Balls forward are finding two defenders in front of our one man. So QPR at the moment just managing to snuff out the conventional Millwall threat. There's a ball forwards there that was sloppy from Ryan Leonard. Straight into the QPR defender and hoofed away. 28 and a half minutes. We're just trying, we've got to find our mojo. Headed clear on 38 minutes by the Millwall defence. This is Lee Gregory. That very, very difficult single-handed role that he's got up front. He does so well for me. I know that he gets criticised for missing chances, but for me, he's my player of the season. I know that there's a bit of an online kerfuffle about not being able to back Ben Thompson for player of the season because he's only been here for a short time. I think it's fair. I know that others will disagree with me. I think that Lee Gregory, over the course of the season, has put an immense amount of work in. For that reason alone, he's our player of the season in what's been a tough year. Yes, Ben Thompson has come back and has changed things. He's only been here for a comparatively short space of time, and this is player of the season. There's a bad ball there by Jake Cooper, who does recover and puts the ball into touch, having almost allowed the forward to break. Is that 52? I just can't see the shirt. There's a strange modern trend in this, a total change of subject now, for shirts with numbers that are very hard to spot at distance. And it's not me. I know I wear glasses, but it's not me. It's the indistinguishable nature of the numbers at distance. They should be quite clear. There should be some FIFA directive on the matter. Make themselves useful in their corrupt headquarters in Zurich. Wallace finds Marlon. Works the corner on the right side. He pulled a corner out of an unpromising situation. Marlon just overran that break. There was a moment where it was looking like a worldie going down the right side, but just put it one step too far. So to get a corner out of that is fine work by the Lions. It's going to be a right side corner for Ben Marshall. 40 minutes just ticks on the in-stadium clock. In it comes. It's to the far post. As Alex Pierce heads it down, the goalkeeper flaps at it. It's cleared in the event. Pierce almost crept into the far post there, headed downwards into the goalkeeper. He couldn't control it at all, but it is cleared by the Rangers defence. And QPR will break. Fantastic work by Ben Thompson. Fantastic work to make that challenge there. That was a break on for QPR. Ben Thompson made the distance in a way that Ryan never didn't, dear listeners. Let that hang in the air. There's a ball in from the right side. Poor cross, straight into the defender. 41 minutes, going to be a Millwall throw-in. Even half, I would say, overall. It's not been the most beautiful game ever. I'd say probably about 50-50 on both sides, in all honesty. This is a late chance in the half to the QPR to put the ball into him, which means to stay switched on. Offside free kick, and it comes. It's deep into the middle. It's offside, is it? The whistle's gone for some infringement of the rules of some sort. Picked up on the far left, 44 minutes. Going to be a ball into the middle on the left side. That's taken well by David Martin there. With aplomb. I used that word the other day in a different context at work. Young lady I was representing, I used the word aplomb. And she hadn't heard the word before. Poor thing. She's only young, 20-something. She hadn't heard the word aplomb. I thought I meant a plum, as in the fruit. There's another one. I think I described something else as a phrase, putting the cat amongst the pigeons, which she frankly had never heard of. She said, I speak really posh. So there we are. All those years of education in Chislehurst finally achieved the accolade that my mum and dad would have loved. But I sound like I'm really posh in this young lady's eyes anyway. This is QPR breaking down the left. Ball's coming in deep, deep, deep. That's up high. Martin's gone for it, he's patted at it and hoofed away, blimey, off the line almost. He's a little bit hesitant at times. We've got to critique the goalkeeper of David Martin. He's short and sometimes he goes a little bit patsy into physical situations where, you know, the likes of the Denzels and the one or two others in the past would have taken men with him. I think Martin just lacks that sheer physical presence, that physicality. Great goalkeeper in other areas, but I think that's the major weakness that we have. Where do you stand, dear listeners? I think we need to look at the goalkeeping position next season. Jordan Archer clearly is no longer in favour. In fact, he's been left out of these critical games and the recent years, as I said that. Right side corner in it comes. That's headed over from close. That was the heads on hands there from the Rangers forward who caught that. That was a clear chance. Let's have a look at it on the big screen. We're about a minute into extra time. Will they show it? They're not showing it. The purpose of the big screen is if not to show it, but anyway, there we are. But that was a clear chance for QPR. It was a straightforward corner into the six-yard box. Again, I feel that David Martin was slightly beaten by that, and that was a clear header from close, put over the bar, which the forward really should have done better with. There's a half-time break. It's 0-0 at half-time. It's been a scrappy game, in all honesty. I would say on balance it's about 50-50 in terms of the balance of the game as both sides walk off to the dressing rooms. Not a great stunner of a match. Best chances, I guess, the push from behind on Lee Gregor as we broke forwards. the referees, the story, as you can hear, they're booing as he leaves the pitch. Otherwise, I'd say QPR have had a couple of decent chances to score at our end, so the Lions are a touch fortunate as the half closes. Millwall 0, Queen's Park Rangers 0.
Podcast. It's the number one Millwall show, and a rich source of wit, repartee, and football wisdom. If you like us, why don't you give us 5 stars and a kind review on the Apple Podcast app? If you do, I'll love you a long time.
Both teams re-enter the arena for the start of the second half, just to cheer us up no end. All of the results are going against us at the moment at the half-time break. I think Rotherham beating Villa, Reading surprisingly leading at Norwich, and Wigan leading. I think they're playing Hull City tonight, so the Lions really do need a win. There's no brooking that. Otherwise, we'll finish up ending the evening in the bottom three as matters stand. So, big night, big half of football yet to come. Lions will be attacking the cold blow lane into the second half. And away we go. Need a lot more energy in the second half. We slightly ran into blind alleys against QPR in the first half. They were physical. We've got to match that. We've been pushed off the ball too easily, not been quick enough at times. And the quality of our crossing's got to improve. So that's pretty much everything, isn't it, dear listeners? Certainly we can't play like we did in the first half and expect to get much out of a game. Let's put it that way. One or two tweets at half time talking about the flat atmosphere inside the ground. It is flat. It's cooled down somewhat. The wind is breezing past. It's got a cool edge to it. So it's a pretty tough night at the moment for Mill supports. We need to find something from somewhere. The players have to lay something to get the crowd into the proceedings. At the moment, it's all a little bit too easy for QPR. 48 and a half minutes. 49 minutes on the stadium clock. Chance of Lions to lump the ball forwards. It's Alex Pearce who does so, aiming at Jake Cooper. Beaten to the punch there. We've not won much in the air today. This falls to Ben Marshall over on the left side. Can he get a cross in? He scuffs his pass slightly, but he does find Tony. Back now to Marshall on the left. He takes his man on. It's a decent looking cross. Far post. Oh, it's headed off the line. Cooper. Both now go loops back into the arms of the goalkeeper. It was headed down from Jake Cooper and it rebounded almost. You need a striker's instinct to put it away there. Will they show the replay of that? Probably not again. I don't know what the purpose of this screen is, if not to show you replays of incidents. But anyway, we're not seeing it. Best chance of the half of the game for Millwall there. This is QPR breaking now on the right side. Good tackle there, but it does come back to their possession just outside the middle penalty on right side. Ball into the middle, that's headed on wide of the mark. That was on target for one heart-stopping moment. The beat of my heart stopped there, dear listeners. It looped wide of the left side post in the event. It's gone for a middle goal kick. Ball in from the left side, that's into a defender again. That crossing has not found the mark at all tonight, dear listeners. Working with Ben Thompson's industry winning the ball back there that we really didn't have any right to be winning. Marlon looks like a clip there, but this is Jed Royce on a run now and cutting in from the middle. That's the ball, the last ball has just gone wanting again. That's been pretty much the story of our evening's proceedings so far as we get towards 59 minutes. Bit of fire in the belly now, the crowd want it. As you can hear, a good tackle is all it needs often to get this crowd going. Referee gives another free kick to QPR as that bit of head tennis went down the left side of our defence. Incidentally, a big thank you as always to those that review the show on Apple Podcasts. It really is appreciated. If you fancy giving me a review, feel free, go on Apple, type in CBL Magazine Podcast or Acton Mill, you'll find it one way or the other. And if you fancy giving me a review, and well, the odd 5 stars wouldn't go amiss, would they, between friends? It's very much appreciated. So thank you to all those that have done that, and for those that have yet to do it in the future, thank you in advance. A lot of free kicks in this game, dear listeners. Another one awarded for Millwall this time in the centre circle. Coming to 70 minutes, that's clattering on. Who is that down at the moment? Ryan Leonard? Ben Marshall, excuse me. Free kick Millwall, centre circle. Chipped forwards on the left side, that's towards Jake Goob. It falls to Meredith. Now Marshall. We're trying to work some angles over it at 1-2s. This is now out wide left. That's a cr- Trossett's gone straight into touch into for goal kick from Meredith. Ball breaks from Rangers, looks like a handball. If he scores, then this will be very, very harshly dealt with. It running bounds off the defence. That's a shot from distance. That's wide right. Lions dodge a moment there. I thought it was a handball to put the initial striker through on goal. Not given, clearly. And that was a real chance there for Queen's Park Rangers. Shot wide right in the event. 72 and a half minutes. It's going to be a change on the Millwall side as he's coming in. This is Aidan O'Brien coming in, Ben Marshall coming out. Chance for Aidan to come in, try and influence the final, was that 13 minutes. As the second half has worn along, we've rather run into blind alleys for me. Certainly every ball, every pass has gone astray into the first defender. So this is a chance for Aidan O'Brien to maybe mix things up a little bit, change it up. Queen's Park Rangers breaking on the right side now. This is ball across the face of the Millwall goal. The 17 was sniffing as it went past the left post. The 20 has certainly made a difference since he's come into the game. An alternative route, what would that be? Get on a bus or walk. It's been a very grim game of football in many respects. Very little to delight the senses. Nice loose ball there, but Alex Pearce shoots, he puts it into touch in accordance with the evening's general vibe. People starting to drift off into the night. Been a disappointing game, in all honesty. Certainly not one for the purists. Scuffly game, and I think QPR probably edged it overall. We've certainly not carved out enough clear-cut chances for me. But at the moment, with 4 minutes to go, we're still in with a point, which it's not what we wanted, but it won't be as bad as getting beat, obviously. State the bleeding obvious, Nick, why don't you? Not cancellations on the trains for some reason. What a fine rail service we have in this country. There are seconds of the game. It's going to be one last chance to punt the ball forwards from inside the middle half if the referee allows it to go that far. I'm not going to South Bermondsey, don't worry about that, dear listeners. Dave Martin launches it forwards. It's going to run all the way back to him. A little moment of hesitation there by Jake Cooper just to test your mettle. As QPR brought it forwards, I would think it must be any moment now. There is Millwall 0, QPR 0. Very disappointing game. That was a tough watch, in all honesty. The quality of our passing, quality of our crossing, we didn't find space enough. You name it, we didn't do it well enough tonight. QPR probably edged it, but that was a tough, grim watch.
It's the Lucas Ball Report.
0-0 draw between the Lions and QPR tonight. A decent point, it'll do. It keeps Millwall out of the bottom three, but yeah, they need more. Need more from the performances more than anything else. And they're going to have to improve to keep on picking up the results in the next few weeks. But gave him a few chances. One decent save, I can remember, from Lumley to deny Cooper at the far post. But barring that, it's Dave Martin who's made two good saves for... You know, it's the results aren't going to come without some more work in the next couple of weeks, especially with a tough game against Sheffield United on Saturday.
Achtung, Millwall.
It's the Lucas Ball Report. It's the Lucas Ball Report. Lucas Balls Report.
You can keep that bit in.
I've got to keep it in.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to
Welcome back to Acton Millwall, the evening after the night before, as we look back at the highlights following Millwall's 0-0 draw at the Den with QPR. Well, that's all we got time for this evening, ladies and gents. So thanks for listening to the podcast. It's Acton Millwall. But yeah, no, we've got to take it seriously. It's a point QPR kind of, I think they're happy with it, looking around on social media today. In a game where which offered quite a lot in terms of optimism going forward, it was a pretty limp result. Let's bring in Nick Hart, the impresario of all things Millwall. How are you, pal?
I'm good, mate. It was a depressing evening I found last night. I know that some have taken some consolation from the fact that we've changed our style of play, but it didn't feel that way last night. I don't know how he felt, but I just thought it was quite a tough watch last night. And I think maybe there was this kind of very Millwall sense of crushed optimism coming into the game. We all expected a bit more out of it. That said, I thought QPR were quite a tough side to play against. They made it very difficult for us. Didn't give us an easy time of it at all last night.
Let's bring in Harry Warren. Young Harold, are you? How are you after last night, pal?
I think I agree slightly with what Nick said in terms of they were hard to break down. I think QPR responded after being embarrassed at Norwich 4-0, and they decided to basically kick 10 lumps of shit out of Millwall, which was a change that we've been accused of that in the past, of being a lump it long and kick the shit out of people. And basically, that's what they chose to do. I mean, the game for me last night was a disgrace. That referee should never referee at that level again.
Very poor referee, very poor. I agree with it.
I'm not just saying that as an angry person. I think he missed a clear penalty for QPR. I also think he missed two red card incidents, which were straight red cards for QPR. There was two tackles that were straight over the top of the balls with stud showing to the letter of the law, their red cards. One was in the first 30 seconds. It was in front of me. It was clear Tuncliffe went mental, not the type of player to moan about changes. And then one in the second half, and also missing out on the fact that Lee Gregory's clean throw on goal, goal side of the defender, with the ball coming over his shoulder, gets his legs clipped, has no reason to go down, goes down. No card for Lee Gregory for simulation, no decision made as to say a foul or a dive, and no decision on whether or not it's a yellow card or a red card to play on. And then, 20 seconds later, gives a yellow card that puts him in a position where I think there was about six or seven yellow cards last night, which it was an aggressive game, but it wasn't overly dirty. And I think he lost the plot after the first 10 minutes.
It was full-blooded, Harry, wasn't it? I don't think it was a dirty game. I think it was full-blooded. Some of the tackling was always going to draw yellow cards in the modern world, but I mean, it was full-on from the kickoff, really. I actually thought, it's not a QPR show, it's a Millwall show, but I actually thought if I was a QPR fan, given the result of last Saturday and the poor showing under Steve McLaren, I would take some heart from that display last night. I thought they showed a lot of spine, and I didn't know the new manager's name at all, John Eustace. But I would think that was quite a performance from their perspective to come to the Den and put up that kind of show. They should take part from it.
Do you think so?
Well,
I mean, this is what I wanted to pick up.
I think we're light. That was all that. That was as good as Millwall side we could put out. There was no one to bring on to change it. I don't understand. You know, there's a couple of people I've seen slagging Harris off for not being able to change it. The only person that had a mare last night was Ben Marshall. Really? Yeah.
No, sorry. I was talking about QPR. I mean, I think Millwall underperformed last night. I don't think that we played to our potential. But were I a QPR fan, I would regard that as a pretty good performance on the back.
This is actually where I wanted to pick up, boys. I mean, there's been talk about, you know, the new manager that the board are looking to bring in at QPR, Tim Sherwood, etc. But Birch wants the job. Obviously, former Millwall man and a QPR hero, Mark Bertram. Yeah. He wants the job. Yet a lot of people are turning around going that they're in big enough shit already that they're probably going to get relegated next season. And it's very much going to be a similar sort of squad next season. On what you watched yesterday, can you see them being down there?
Do you think so, Harry? I thought...
Yeah, I think they've got one player, haven't they? They've got Freeman, that's it.
Well, who's the
attacking-wise?
Number 20, I'm just looking at the lineup there.
Matt Smith.
I say Samuel, who came in.
Brighter Samuel.
Yeah, the 20. I thought he looked very dangerous when he came into the game. And
I think you're giving them QPR an awful lot of credit, Nick. I generally think that if Millwall had got to go early doors, they would have crumbled. I think they were helped by the three lines.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree that it would have been a different game. I agree with that.
And I generally think that Millwall ran out of puff a little bit in the second half. And if they were... I'm not worried about QPR going away and getting loads of wins between now and the end of the season. It's a shame we didn't get a win because we'd have brought another team into play, which is always nice when you're looking at the scores, seeing that 1 minute you're in the relegation zone and the next minute you're back to 17th or 19th or whatever it is, just because, you know, your heart needs that. But I generally can't see them. I mean, they were playing three at the back. They've done some weird thing. We just lacked pace. We had no wing. We had no width. It was our shortcomings rather than... They were solid and nothing more than that, I don't think. I know what you're saying about to go from getting beaten 4-0 to get a 0-0 draw at the Den. But 0-0 draws on a Tuesday night, in this case a Wednesday night at the Den, were standard fare or are standard fare for quite a lot of games, unfortunately. And I just think that, you know, on a Saturday afternoon, Millwall at the Den are a different prospect than what they are on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night, unfortunately. And the game in hand is on a Tuesday or a Wednesday night. So I don't know if we can expect too much from that either.
It was a flat atmosphere last night, that's for sure. And I think the midweek games at the Den are rarely as compulsive as a Saturday at home. I think we looked, one or two posted after I did a little post-match thing last night, and one or two posted how we looked leggy and tired from Saturday's exertions. I mean, that was a great performance against West Bromwich Albion last Saturday. Yeah. So fatigue, tiredness, what do you want to call it? Mental kind of, you know, slightly dulled. Another big game so soon after that performance. But we've got to liven up because we've got Sheffield United away on Saturday. So the fatigue argument is yes, it's there. But I just think we played under par last night. Our quality of our passing, our crossing, both Jed and Ben Marshall were struggling to beat the first defender when normally that's not a criticism you could level at both. It was an off night. I thought Ben Thompson just looked a little bit under par last night. Ryan Leonard looked slower. I think I criticised him last Saturday about for playing, you know, just taking that extra moment to think on the ball, and it just seemed to be more exemplified last night. So I think it's a bit of both. I think we played under par, and QPR were strong, well organised, and solid.
I don't think we're allowed to play, to be fair. I generally don't think we're allowed to play. I don't think QPR were allowed to play. It was horrible first half, horrible bitty. There was no football involved. And the problem is for me is that to get the crowd on side, you need something to go their way. I mean, even the referee, you know, sometimes we've said before, sometimes a challenge could get
a tackle,
get
yeah,
the crowd, yeah,
solid tackle. Yeah.
And last night, if you'd done that, you'd be having an early bath. I mean, he was begging to send somebody off. I mean, it was almost like he'd had how many card, under or over cards bet before he come out, because it was ridiculous. I mean, I've never... I know we get one every season. You know, Aaron, you're not a Millwall fan, but I'll let you know, we get one every season. There will be one in the pool of referees, and let's just hope that the one that we got was last night, because the run-in, and it is so tight with all the clubs down the bottom, I'd include QPR still in that, it's going to be decided regardless of the rights or wrong of VAR, and this is a massive thing for the clubs in this division financially, is going to be decided on, hopefully on football reasons, but last night, you know, Tunnicliffe gets a booking, Gregory gets a booking. You start getting booking points at the end of the season. You start picking up silly yellow cards for arguing with the referee. Now, rightly or wrongly, you're arguing with the referee. And I know players have to be professional, but the referee doesn't necessarily help him out there. He seemed pretty much like a PE teacher last night. I mean, I always worry when the referee's assistant is wearing a pair of Nike Tempos from 1990 and training for. I always start to worry on their level of professionalism, that they feel that's an acceptable boot to wear. 20 years after it came out.
That's a detail that escaped me, I must say.
I mean, this is what you get sitting in block 45. You get to look at, you get to see the lights of their eyes. You get to see the fact that, you know, when, you know, that they're nicking 20, they done, I mean, QPR, I've tweeted in the first sort of 10 minutes that they were the biggest shithouses that I've seen all season. And that, you know, that, if we're saying that that's good, well, I suppose it is good for QPR because it shows they've got a bit of arsehole and a bit of bottle and they'll be there till the end to fight, you know, under their new manager.
Yeah.
As far as we're concerned, I think the doom and gloom merchants and, you know, to put a positive spin on it, if we had got a draw against West Brom and beat QPR,
yeah,
it would be totally different, and that's so Millwall bipolar.
I made that point to my wife, not that she was particularly interested in the point when I got home, but that was a point I made quite firmly and falsely. We would have settled for 4 points from two games, wouldn't we? You know, exactly. West Bromwich Albion and QPR, 4 points out of those two games.
I don't think anyone expected them to come in this sort of round of the thing. Everyone expected maybe a draw against West Brom and 3 points against each other.
I mean, I expect us to probably get something from Brentford and Stoke. Anything from anyone else is probably a bonus other than Wigan on the last day.
I mean, the results at half-time, the half-time results of their, you know, their rival fixtures were looking very unkind on us. And I thought at that point, I think we were in the bottom three at one point at half-time. Yeah. And that was going to look grim. I wouldn't have felt quite so buoyant coming home with us in the bottom three at the end of the night. There was one or two freakish-looking scorelines, but and in the end, for the most part, apart from maybe Reading getting that draw at Norwich, those results went to script in the end. But it was a bit tough at half-time, and it wasn't looking quite so comfortable. So, you know, I think overall, 4 points from two games, and the results went as
Rotherham losing was good. Yeah. I mean, considering, you know, the circumstances and which.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Villa, what
10 men Villa, I think, Aaron, wasn't it?
Ten men. Missed a penalty in the first half, but you know, a bit of magic from Grealish, and they managed to bag 3 points. You know, Reading fighting, absolutely battling for that draw at Norwich was an interesting sign.
That caught my eye. That was a good performance by Reading, wasn't it? Leading and then finish up with a tall draw there. No one would have predicted that. So in the end, the results were kind, and that made a better
that game in hand. Is going to be so crucial now when you look at it. I mean, imperative for Millwall to actually do something with that game in hand now.
I think that it'd be nice to go into that game knowing a draw would secure.
Suffice, yeah.
Yeah, because I think anything less than that, I mean, hopefully Bristol City keep bowling teams aside and they're in the play, and West Brom keep having a sort of a malfunction because. If Bristol City to rock up 2 games from the end of the season, secured in the playoffs, you know, it might be one of them days where they go, you know what, we're, I
don't to really foot off the gas. Then, so, yeah,
yeah, I don't fancy a den on a Tuesday night, you know. With and that den would be rocking that Tuesday night. If they knew that survival was on the line, I don't doubt that the Millwall faithful would
be turned out.
Which unfortunately sort of happened Saturday with West Brom. It felt, it for considering the fact that they're not a local rival and there was not a lot really on the game, I thought the atmosphere Saturday was pretty decent, to be fair. So,
looking ahead to the weekend, Ipswich Town at home to Birmingham, and they could actually be relegated this weekend. Of course, you know, they look certain to drop into English football's third tier for the first time since when, Nick Hart?
Oh, long time ago. I can't remember it. Put it that way.
Ipswich. 1957.
Is it that long? Before I was born?
McCarthy was doing a shit job there, though, weren't he?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Because Ipswich rose, yeah, they rose from the third division. I think they were champions in the early 60s. Alf Ramsey. Well. And then they obviously made it another golden period in the 70s. But leaving all of history aside, that's a shocking season for Ipswich Town. I know there's the McCarthy storyline there and, you know, the criticism of the fans with their expectations of better football. It's almost the West Ham thing, isn't it? A syndrome that you expect to play beautiful football.
The Ipswich way.
And, you know, I think it's one of those you've got to be careful what you wish for moments, because that's actually quite shocking. They're a big club, Ipswich Town. European UEFA Cup winners, I think, in the 70s.
84, I think.
Yeah, and one of the names of the game, really. You know, for them to finish up in the third tier, I know other clubs have been down there in the past, and they'll probably make a comeback from it. That's quite a shocking season from their perspective. But yeah, relegated, they got Birmingham at home. So who knows? We'd be looking for an Ipswich result there, really, because that pulled Birmingham downwards, wouldn't it?
Sorry, it was 1981. Ipswich, 1984. I hate stuff like that. I don't like misinforming people. But yeah, we could see Ipswich go Bolton in all sorts of trouble.
Bolton, deep trouble.
At the foot of the table. They are 5 points off of Ipswich. They're seven off of Rotherham. A couple of defeats and they'll be gone
So we could
actually see Bolton be gone Easter weekend.
Yeah. Obviously that to settle those two bottom two spaces would be something. Rotherham have Stoke on Saturday, which will be no easy fixture. But they do seem to show a bit of fight, Rotherham. That's just giving me the collie wobbles slightly, you know, because what you really want to see is them folding and rolling over. And Stoke have nothing much on the line for that, do they?
I know you're saying that they give you a bit of fight, but considering the fact that Nottingham Forest haven't won two games back-to-back all season, and since September, and they haven't won away from home since about 1968, Rotherham are picking up points against sides that I'd hope we'd pick points up against, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Their running until now has been better than ours, I'd say. Obviously, I played for it. It's quite similar that we play Villa in, two games' time. So we'll have, obviously, the game against Sheffield, then we'll have the home game against Brentford, and then we'll play Villa. And realistically, you know, you can only compare our results against their results. I know that, you know, people are going to look at the table. The table only matters on the last day. It only matters after it's finished. It doesn't. I know you shouldn't look at it. You should just try and win as many games as you can, and that's it. But obviously, we're human, and it doesn't work like that. But, you know, Rotherham, this reminds me so much of Harris's failed attempt to keep us up the first time after the clown left, that, you know, it's a bit of a shame that Rotherham aren't managed by Steve Evans still. Because I'd like to see with a rather large glass of pink champagne. No, we didn't bottle it, son, kind of thing. Because it's exactly the same scenario. Do you remember they had a game in hand and they played it on the Tuesday and they won?
Yeah.
And that was another tip. And it'd be poetic justice to relegate them against Bristol City. It would be quite nice, actually. Yeah, sad satisfaction at relegating somebody else. That's what my life has become.
A lot of chat about Paul Warne, the manager there. He was actually the fitness coach, and he ended up getting the job on a permanent basis. And as someone who's had the opportunity to go and chat to him a couple of times, he's actually a brilliant guy who had so much shit to clear out of there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd actually, if you give me the opportunity to search it up, you know, their squad at one point when they're in the championship was just an absolute shambles. It was basically like a cheaper version of what QPR did in the Premier League of buying old journeymans. Yeah, basically it was TK Maxx. It was exactly that. I mean, let me reel off some names for you. Lee Camp, of course, you know, the standard goalkeeper. Kirk Broadfoot, formerly of Glasgow Rangers. Greg Halford. You had Emmanuel Ledesma. Jerome Thomas, Luciano Becchio. Becchio. Matt Derbyshire. Yeah, Matt Derbyshire, Leon Best. Oh, it gets better. It gets a lot better. If we move on to the next season, 2016-17, where it became even more of a mess. I mean, transfers in. Dexter Blackstock was there.
What a great name.
You know, yeah, Joel Ekstrand, players like that. A certain Mr. Peter Odin Wingy turned up as well. That's when you know things are going bad. And he had to clear out so much rubbish out of that squad. The wage bill was completely and utterly out of control. And I felt for Paul Warne because, you know, the job he had to do was crazy. And he managed to get them into the playoffs. He managed to bring them through. They brought in Sean Cummings, I think. I think Sean Cummings was playing for him as well.
Did he finish up there?
Former Millwall man. He's a Doncaster now. You know, he let go of so many players and it was such a patch-up job he needed to do. And he's done well. And you know, they're operating sort of... They are maybe too good for League One. But I don't think they're good enough for the Championship.
No. Well, they're probably just the only team marginally worse off than us in the league, aren't they? Rotherham, they're just with the only team with a smaller budget than Millwall is Rotherham United. They're going to Stoke. Stoke don't seem to have much to play for, so you never know what you're going to get from Rotherham. I know Harry's got his doubts, but I'm just getting to that stage of the season now where I'm playing with the old league predictor and trying to type in wins and losses to see what impact it has on Millwall, you know.
Aaron's betting tips, first manager to be sat next season in the Championship, Nathan Jones.
Okay. Get on it.
Get on it. Where are we, Nick? Are we when are we turning to some listener questions?
Let's turn to them now, because I think we probably exhausted. The only other fixture I'm just looking at is Wigan versus Norwich. I mean, Norwich just struck me as all-conquering, and then they go and wobble against Reading. So that's another collie wobble.
They wobbled against us, didn't they? But just about got over the line. So they do have a little bit of a weird bit about them, don't they? Maybe that's what we'll see them relegated next season with a record low amount of points.
Let's go to these questions. Well, let's have a quick look because Michael's not with us tonight, and there was so little to really go over on the action.
I hear he's on a research mission at the moment.
He's at the club shop.
he's on eBay, isn't he?
He was doing eBay, trying to find oddities on eBay.
That was before FA bungled me off. That's why I cut out last week. They took me to their referee training centre.
That's right.
There's a question from Del Strain, comedian Del Strain.
Legend. I used to listen I used to listen to you on the Ian Collins show on Talk Sport back in the day, like 10, 12 years ago, mate. Absolute hero. Anyway, Karen.
Very nice guy, Del. I've met him a few times, spoken to him a couple of times. But Del is asking, why do so many players have great games on a Saturday, then emit shadows themselves in the midweek? At this point last night, we should have mullered QPR. We have not got the games to fuck about, and that's very true. Though a week ago, we would have taken 4 points from two games. It's annoying. Why are so many shadows in midweek from good games on Saturday? I would think fatigue and mental dullness. Do you think they go out on the sauce, Aaron?
They go on the piss on the Sunday, shag the missus, and then all the human beings. That's it. What do you want?
I want a robot.
I can't be on it all the time.
I'd look into this, yeah. That Slimming World weigh-in is on a Monday. So on a Tuesday, on a Monday night, they have a kebab just to celebrate. Then a Tuesday, it's Chinese. Come Wednesday, they've got to perform again, and they're just loaded up on chop suey.
As long as they're not on that Chinese machine that was doing the rounds on the internet, where the semen depository that you go into is like...
I don't know what you've been subscribing to, mate.
It's a machine that does what...
The Lioness
and
the Christmas party.
Anyway, let's move along. Matt Richards says, I was very sad. That's the news at Coventry City. Hedge fund owners Sisu are looking at being expelled from the league. Now, whether that will happen on... April 25th or not is an open question at the moment. The EFL looking to expel Coventry City. Left the move away from the Ricoh Stadium again.
There was actually a retweet by Mark Webber, who's one of my colleagues, who retweeted someone who goes, so today we have Coventry getting forced to leave, Bury in £14 million of debt, Cambridge in £2 million of debt, Macclesfield with a winding up order, Oxford can't pay rent for the stadium, Bolton in all sorts of trouble, Notts County also with a winding up order. And today, gents, Wickham Wanderers, their American investment has pulled out. So what that means for the club, who now have a £500,000 loan from these guys that they need to pay back by the end of 2019, I don't actually know. It is baffling.
Well, Gareth Ainsworth lose his job?
I don't think he'll lose it. They won't sack him because they can't afford to. And two, I think he's holding out for QPR, you know.
Football's
horrible,
a mess.
Horrible,
isn't it?
Horrible man.
Really?
Horrible human being. Absolutely despicable, horrible human. One of the lowest people ever. The absolute shithousery to break Tony Craig's fucking cheek twice in one season is pure bollocks.
Get off that fence, Harry.
And then retire at the end of the season so Tony Craig couldn't hunt him down. Basically, pure bullshit.
Catherine DeVerve answers Bell, says, asks why should we have mullered QPR? We were rubbish. We are rubbish. I don't think we're rubbish, Catherine. I think that's harsh. I think we had an off night, and I think that we've been playing much better recently. So I don't agree that we should.
Brighton,
I don't think we should have mullered them. I don't think we're rubbish, Harry. Would you go along with that?
I think since we've gone to the change of formation, since we're playing Gregory up top by himself, since the Boy Wonder's return, into the starting lineup, we've been a lot better. I think they just ran out of legs last night. I think it was a game for a good delivery. Jed, sometimes that's the one thing that's lacking in his game, if he can't beat his fullback. And Ben Marshall decided to wear, I know he likes to cut back onto his right foot, but I definitely think he had the left boot on the right foot last night, because everything he tried to do went wrong. So you would have normally changed him for Ferguson. Ferguson obviously still suspended, and Scalak. Obviously, everyone's vote for player of the season will definitely didn't get any minutes again.
It'll be on the P11 bus out of town, I think, come May the 6th.
You know what, right? I feel like if we go to the end of season, dude, we're definitely going to get I'm going to get stitched up, right? If anyone at the club listens to me, you're going to
the end of season, dude.
You're going to give the fucking Jordan Archer and bloody Ryan Tunnicliffe sitting there going, all right, okay.
Yuri Scalak serving you.
Yeah,
end of season,
dude. Be no, you can't cross it. You wouldn't be drop it, mate. You drop it, send it to the wrong table. He can't cross anything, and he can't.
Potato, Mr. Warren. Potato. No.
Yeah, something like that.
Tickets for the end of season, do. I thought, oh, I quite fancy that. £99. Fucking hell.
How much?
That's all right. How much is it for a table?
Well, 8 times 99. What's that come?
If you want to be on our table.
£792.
If you want to be on our table.
Applications into Nick Hart. Harry Warren and young Mickey Avery.
So I'm mulling on that. Where I think 99. I want a lot for me £99. I'm not sure we're going to get it in the exact.
We've got to go. We've been talking about.
You
it
just
all
want to
year.
Go.
It's like a social.
You just want to go and perv over the lionesses. I know you.
No,
Harry
I really
Warren.
Don't.
I read you like a book, mate.
It's where the creme de menthe. Of Bermondsey
High Society.
They go and hobnob. Yeah, over a. I mean, they attend. Listen to this. Wait. Millwall's 2018-19 end of season awards will take place at the Den on Tuesday, the 7th of May. Forget the middle bit. Attendees will receive a welcome drink on arrival, orange squash, before the meal is served with half a bottle of wine per person. Well, I don't know where they found that. Yeah, I heard a geezer called Ugandan Morris has nicked that. Anyway, following that will be the award ceremony in which winners of the title, such as Player of the Year, Scalak, young player of the year, Tunney, and goal of the season, own goal, with a disco and carriages to finish off the night. That's right, Abdi from ABC Cars on the Woolworth Road will pick you up. Yeah. Tickets are £99 per person, including that. Over 18s only. By the way, can I just say, supporters can enjoy a three-course meal. Have you? Do you enjoy water biscuits, Nick?
Three courses, posh.
Water biscuits, very, very chippy posh. Supper, creme caramel.
So there we are. That's, you get a lot for your £99, clearly.
To be fair, you get a lot for your £99 now. I sound like we definitely should go, and Aaron, me and you are wearing matching Mirrorball suits.
Mate, I'm only going there if it's an Harry's bar, yeah?
Can we actually say we only want to go if we're allowed to walk through Harry's bar before?
Because he's dressed as James Bond or something. Yeah.
Can I rent out Harry's bar? That's the question.
Oh,
and have the end of season do.
Yeah, that'd be good.
The alternative, that'd be a good idea.
Nick, very, very quickly before we go on to our next question, you must have gone to Highfield Road.
Highfield Road, back a long time ago.
Great ground.
In the 70s, yeah. It was, in central Coventry, if memory serves. Long while since I've been there. I've been there back in the 70s, mid-70s.
Did we go there and Shaw played against us? We were in the Champions League. Yeah, they were still in the Champions.
That would have been in the
Sadly,
was that being
scored.
The night? Well, yeah, late 90s,
early 2000s.
Yeah, because they moved to the Ricoh.
They moved in 2004-05. They moved to the Ricoh.
So yeah, I've been there. That was on one of the grounds I've been to.
But it's a shame. I mean, these inner city grounds go, and we lose something bit by bit, but. There we are. So yeah, Coventry up against it, Aaron. That's I think all football fans should hope that they survive that by some method.
Yeah, because they'll allow Salford City into the league if they go out of business, wouldn't they?
I suppose yeah, they'd have had someone in, wouldn't they? Shall we move along to our next question?
Yeah, can I just say Grumpy Chris as messaging. Yeah. All right, Grumpy. Ben Marshall snubbed us last season. Norwich going up and will be surplus to requirements. Shall we offer him a contract in brackets depending on transfer fee, of course? I'm going to answer this with a yes.
I'm also going to answer this with a definitely yes.
I'd say a yes. I mean, obviously, that's dependent on surviving in the Championship, which we all hope we will do. But yeah, I mean, he's a good quality player. And, I know he had a bit of an off night last night, but he's made a big improvement in recent matches. So that's a yes from me too. So, yeah.
And he's better than Yuri Skalak. So, you know.
Well, that's not a high bar. You're not setting a high bar there. We haven't really seen him, have we? He's been sick notes since he's arrived with us, and we haven't really seen little bit fits and starts of Yuri Skalak. So, you know, I do feel a little bit sorry for him.
But I do think he's always farmers about him.
Yeah, he's, I think he'll be on his way out, but there we are. Question from John Shippers. Why can't we win the games we should do, asks John. Why can't we play against teams who sit back? Is it complacency, no imagination to break a team down, ? Why can't we win the games? Well, we are short of creativity, that's for sure.
We'll get creativity in like Diego Fabbrini from a couple of years ago, and everyone would call him a cunt for 90 minutes because he doesn't tackle someone. Like, that's the problem. Why have we got players that can do everything? Because we're Millwall.
Because we're Millwall, we're not Barcelona. One thing I would say, I mean, the obvious creatives in the team, Ben Marshall and Jed Wallace, and we know about them. But one thing, I mean, the boy wonder, as you rightly called him, Harry, I mean, I really do think that Ben Thompson has added a creative streak to his game that wasn't so much to the fore in his previous incarnation at the Den. He's come back with an extra layer to his game. I mean, some of the runs into the box he's been making and the way he makes it happen, there's an extra level to him. So I think I'm going to have add Ben Thompson into our list of creatives with, you know, wearing black shades and black polo necks and berets, you know. He's moved into that category.
I think the fact that when he started, you thought he was going to be like the new Jimmy Abdu, and he's turned into, you know, sort of a new Timmy Cahill, really, isn't he? He's got a little bit of... Timmy had a bit of fight in him when he went to Millwall. You know, loved to tackle, loved the red card. And Ben Thompson has got everything. I mean, the headers he wins, he gets knocked over. He'll get sandwiched between 2 6-foot blokes, and he bounds back up like, you know... And he, at one last night, I think he got done in the back of the head, and he went down like seemingly knocked out and sort of sprung back up and challenged for the ball again. It gives everything. It gives absolutely everything. And, you know, it's a cliche, but if you do that for us, we'll give you everything back. And it's a travesty that the boy can't win player of the season, because I think he'd win all young player of the season, or even if they let him have young player of the season, because he's come back. And if without his goals, Morrison would still be getting a game and we'd be fucked. Really, yeah. There's no other word for it.
I don't think complacency. I mean, just answering John's point, I actually don't see complacency in that squad. You could argue about creativity at times. It didn't work for our main players last night, and that probably does mean that the team as a unit aren't as creative as you might want. But overall, I do think, I mean, the on-field leadership, I would have questioned earlier on in the season, but I increasingly like the look of Alex Pearce in central defence. I think he is a leader.
On a free.
Yeah. And again, a player that I would love to retain if we can do next season. I really do think that Jake Cooper looks a different player with a decent man alongside him. I'm hoping that Sean Jake Hutchinson Cooper. Recovers. I'm hoping Sean Hutchinson okay. recovers his mojo as well, because he's really got off the ball, isn't he?
I think Sean Hutchinson's been carrying an injury that we're not, you know.
Did I read he was in hospital the other day, Harry? Did I see that online?
Yeah,
online
he did. Yeah.
In hospital for something. So it'll be nice to see Sean back in the game again, and like he was playing last season. And I do think that Alex Pearce is a great leader on the field, and we have lacked that at times this season.
I think that gives us, you know, Neil Harris is learning as a manager. I think the fact that if he had three fully fit centre halves to pick from, with a Pearce, Hutchinson and Cooper all on form, does that allow Romeo and Ferguson to play as wing backs and give us width with that three man midfield? You know, does that allow us to do things differently when we need to go and attack games? Can we go different ways? I think that, you know, this season, the fact that we've gone to a three-man midfield has been a revelation, really. I mean, most Millwall fans think 4-4-2 or 4-4-2. It is, you know, there's no thing. But Harris is, you can still kind of play wingers in a five-man midfield if you've got three winning runners. And, you know, Tunnicliffe, I wasn't his biggest fan, but now I think he's developed his game into...
I have a question for you on that very point, Harry. It's from Ed Castle, and he's asking, on reflection, after thinking about it, Harry, does Block 45 Lion acknowledge that Ryan Tunnicliffe is one of the greatest central midfielders Manchester United have ever produced?
Okay, let me think. Let me think where he comes in the pantheon. Let me have a second to think where he comes in the pantheon of great
Manchester United central midfielders.
Okay, so that we've got Charlton. Is he above Bobby Charlton? No, he's not above Bobby Charlton.
Beckham. Beckham.
Paul Scholes. No. Scholes. Roy Keane. No. Nicky Keane. Yeah, no. Yeah. Cleberson. No. Quinton Fortune. Now we're getting into
getting warmer. You're getting warmer. Warmer.
Yeah, hey, warmer. Don't forget Darren Fletcher, football genius.
Darren Fletcher. We're also going with Anderson. Anderson, famous for basically scoring goals in Champions League finals and nothing else.
Oh, mate, I met Mike Phelan, Mickey Phelan, at QPR on New Year's Day 2017 when he was assistant manager. It's 2016. Anyway, either or, he was assistant manager Steve Bruce at Hull. And I asked him about Anderson because he was a great player. Problem is, there's so many takeaways around there. He just loved them all, really. I was just like, oh, right. Honestly, he goes, he was a great lad, though, Ando. A great lad.
Sounds like he was a great lad. Sounds like he should have been from fucking Barnsley.
No, that was Mickey Phelan.
That's the end of our questions, chaps. I'm afraid.
Oh, that was good questions.
That was quite nice. So
we'll get some more
in next week, as we didn't have our club shop update, and Michael's away working on eBay. Some good questions there. Thank you very much to listeners for that interaction. That's supposed to be the key of podcasting, boys, with your listeners.
True. We're going to have a Brexit speech now. So we're going to say, when do you think we're actually gonna leave, right? This is gonna be recorded, so we've got a date. So when do you think we're actually gonna leave? Because I'm watching, saying I never thought I was gonna ever see again. Tiger Woods is leading a major, right? So the things that people said were never gonna happen. We all don't play 4-4-2. Tiger Woods is good at golf again. Obviously, he's got a new extramarital affair because I think he stopped playing well.
He's back on form again.
He's got a bad back.
He's back in the game again, generally speaking.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. What was the question? When will we leave the European Union? Oh, yes. Mate, that's going to be...
I don't think we will.
I think when we're all next qualified to play in Europe, that will be the moment that we finally leave
the EU. Could you imagine that, though?
Can someone warm the Intertoto Cup up again?
Yeah. Could you imagine, you have these great stories of, like, Jack Walker buying Blackburn and, you know, obviously before Bolton were in trouble, you know, Bolton getting to the Premier League. And Blackpool with the Oystons, you know, these mental madcap billionaires who buy clubs. Never imagine a Millwall fan winning the Euro Millions again. Yeah, I'm gonna finance Millwall Premier League. £250 million just go straight in the club. Millwall would be the kind of team that would manage that and just basically buy the worst players imaginable and still get relegated from the Championship. We spent £8 million on Ashley Cole because he was once a world beater.
What we need is an oligarch or an oil kind of state that wrote, maybe Brunei or somewhere like that, that will fund us.
That'd be great.
Well, Brunei are like quite the they're quite in the news at the moment.
But so, you know, some kind of outcast state, but North Korea or someone that will fund.
Well, I think we should ask Sepp Blatter to make this over. He must have all the money somewhere. Or Gianni Infantino.
We'd all suspend our human rights consciences. Just get Millwall into the Champions League by some method, you know.
I still think we've got a good thing going with like something like Zambia. Or like Somalia, or the Sudan.
It would need some corrupt dictator. Rwanda. Something like that.
We should get Rwanda to do it.
Mate, that's what happened to Leyton Orient. I mean, everyone talks about that famous John Sitton documentary, Club for a Fiver. That's because their chairman, Tony Wood, actually invested in Rwanda. And there was, of course, the Rwandan genocide.
That's right.
And basically, all his coffee plantations got blown up. And what he was going to do is he was going to corner the Rwandan coffee market. He was going to be their version of Kenko. Yeah.
That's what we need.
Well, I mean, the sad slash funny thing is in that documentary, which is, can I just say, is cut back in 94 or 95, he's sitting there going, all my men are dead, all my women are dead, my coffee plantation's gone, I've basically lost everything. And then suddenly he's got like a little tear in his eyes, then the phone goes, hello, Leyton Orient Football Club. And,
he's answering the phone.
He's on the phone, and he's basically like, I'll give it to someone for a fiver. And he sold it to the Hearns for a fiver, didn't he? And they took the club on. But, you know, I still think somewhere in Africa would do the job. Zimbabwe.
Well, if anyone's listening, this show does go around the globe. So if there's any oligarchs, dictators, war criminals.
The king of Zimbabwe.
North Korea. I can imagine Kim Jong-un singing, no one likes us.
As we don't care.
The entire North Korean army chant, no one likes us, walking past in a parade.
We don't judge down the den. We don't judge.
If
you're listening, you've got some spare money. Call us.
If you are listening, you know, as the club always say, if you hear hate, don't hesitate.
I think we're done, boys.
Well, should we look ahead to the weekend very quickly? It's not Sheffield United,
Sheffield United, tough game.
They play every April. It's always in April.
It's an April fixture. Tough game. I think we're going to raise our game. We like it when we go to big clubs. That's a big stadium. I enjoyed my trip to Sheffield last year. I can't make this weekend's game, but I'm going to fancy Mill to raise our game and get a point up there at least, possibly more. I fancy us there.
I think a draw. Also, just remembering, saying you were going to go up there, the train for Wigan, if anyone started to look at their transport for needing to get to Wigan on the last Sunday of the season, there's no trains out of King's Cross that day, so we'll have to go out of the other one.
So, coach one.
Yeah.
Travel on coach one.
Might be an Airbnb job, Les. So we can all go get drunk in Wigan. What's the best night out in Wigan, Aaron?
Well, I don't know, but I'll tell you what
the answer to that question is Manchester.
No, I can tell you about the cuisine, and that a Wigan kebab is possibly one of the most interesting bits of food I've ever come across, which is... Anyone had a Wigan kebab, Nick?
No, mate. You're treading new ground for me.
Like a Barnsley chop?
Well, no, a Barnsley chop is actually a bit of meat. A Wigan kebab is a pie in a roll.
You mentioned this before, didn't you?
Yeah.
A pie in a roll.
That's got
to be done, isn't it? You have to try that when we're up.
Well, yeah. And if anyone's failing on the train, I'm sure you can look on like the old National Express coaches and get like a 36-hour with a stopover in Telford.
Yeah. Mega bus. £1 return, but you've got to go via John Groats.
No, you've got to go via Bruges.
Yeah. Coach one on the mega. I can only imagine what coach one on the mega bus would be like. Jesus Christ,
mate! You got a 15-minute stopover in Stalingrad. Yeah.
Aaron, honestly, right? I think I said I'd never do this again, but to get the cultural reference joke of coach one, I think I'll have to take you on a coach one.
I'm on it. Day. Oh yeah, I'm on it.
Right.
Yeah, let's do
and
it.
I swore after going as a 16-year-old.
Never again.
Pay on the cup. 16-year-old. Yeah. We went to Everton on a
trip. I did the same. Yeah.
And
yeah,
I was on coach one.
Once
I've
only.
I've never wanted to leave. Jump. I actually, to be honest, driving behind the coach with my face grinding along the motorway tarmac seemed preferable than coach one at the time. And years, distance, miles run. Have not changed my mind.
We'll have to get you on it, Aaron, at some point. Coach One is the experience.
I hear Nick Hart used to be quite the ringleader on Coach One.
Yeah, yeah, right. Mobbed up. Number one. I think he's got a lot of boy. Fucking fans on Coach One.
Top boy. Nick Hart, top boy.
Top boy.
I've seen Nick Hart walk through the car park. He catches all sorts of colourful characters.
Oh, mate, don't worry. We all have. Let's have your predos. Chef You versus Mel. Errol, do you go in?
Fuck that. Do I look stupid?
Hey,
fair play to you all. No, I've chosen my away games around my brother's DIY project this season. So we're busy this weekend, so unfortunately I won't be there. I didn't go last season. I had a wedding. I think we played on the same day as the Grand National last year.
Yeah, it was around about the same time of year.
Yeah, so that's what I remember. So yeah.
Score prediction, Harry?
1-1.
I'm going to go for... I think it'll be a draw, so it'll be 1-1. Yeah, I'll go with 1-1. Possibly 2-1.
Sheffield United 1, Millwall 2.
Oh, he's such a pro, isn't he?
He's absolutely brilliant.
I'm going for that, gent.
Who's going to say it?
Well, I was going to say, I'm off to watch Lincoln versus Cheltenham Danny Cowley get Lincoln promoted. And I just want to say, by the way, I'll tell you what, my funny story of the week is an MK fan offered me out on Saturday. How good was that?
Yeah, you said this. I wanted to ask you about it, but I didn't know if this was the show, the time, or the place.
Hey, it is. It's always the show, the time, the place. So they call it the Winky Dome. They call it the Winky Dome. In franchise FC. Yeah, with the padded seats.
That alone is damnation, isn't it? The Winky Dome.
So I'm sat there and they haven't segregated the press area like pretty much, you know, 91 of the other 92 regular football clubs have.
Proper clubs, yeah.
You segregate your press area.
The non-franchise ones. Yeah.
Well, basically, yeah. So what happens is Lincoln City get a penalty. Truth be told, I wasn't even watching that they got a penalty. I was too busy on my phone looking at Miakas. I spotted there was a penalty. And I'm like, oh, pen, yeah. So I started chatting down my line, obviously. And the producer on said radio show that I work on has gone, right, Aaron, get ready. We're going to commentate the penalty, build up, and bang, goal. Let's have it. I was like, cool, fine. So, you know, it's literally like Lincoln City, XYZ clear at the top of League One, upsets John Okinde, 16 goals for the season. Bang, there's number 17. Lincoln City, XYZ clear at the top of League. Anyway, and then, you know, you sign off, Milton Keynes 0, Lincoln 1, cool. Switch your mic off. I look to my left, there's a Milton Keynes fan, bat 50, he's probably just had, you know, half a bottle of Uganda Morris's wine in their hospitality suite. I don't know. He might have been, but he's turned around to me going, "Oi, why didn't you tell me it weren't a penalty? Blah, blah. That's your fucking job, X, Y, Z, blah." And I was like, "You what, mate?" And I was mutting because I've had a bit of cold, so I've got one ear that's a bit, it's on the blink. And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "Why aren't you saying that's a fucking thing?" I was like, "Mate, what the fuck are you on about?" And he goes, "Me and you, half time, I'll be fucking waiting for you." I go, "Okay. All right. Yeah, cool." Anyway.
Offered that at Milton Keynes, Aaron. Bloody
not Millwall, Milton Keynes.
Anyway. Well, can I just say my career has plunged to new low depths. At half time, I've done my report, I've got there, and I look to my left and he's sitting there. So I stand up, not to go and see him, to have a cup of tea. And he walks over to me and goes, "Look, yeah, I'm really sorry. It was passion. I'm really sorry, blah, blah, blah." He goes, I see the Wimbledon sticker on your laptop. And he goes, "I just want to say, you know, it's all in the past. You know, things happen, blah, blah, let bygones be bygones." I was like, "You fucking what?" And I was like, "Mate, any other time."
For anyone that doesn't know what Aaron looks like, okay, so Aaron's about 6'4".
Right. At least, yeah.
And weighs about 300 pounds. Okay.
Yeah. So, hey, I'm 10 kilo down, son. I'm 10 kilo down. Don't knock it.
Right. So, I wouldn't want to meet Aaron down the dark anyway. I'm being totally honest.
I suggest anyone that fancies taking on Aaron, make your first punch count. You might not get a second.
I mean, literally, he's like, it's all in the past, isn't it? I was like, mate, shut up. So,
Aaron Blacksop has got I'm voting in an AFC Wimbledon elections sticker on it at NK Dons as well. So I'm guessing this guy thought that you were definitely a Wimbledon fan commentating on MK Dons.
Wimbledon nutter's gone up there. Absolutely
nutter. Well, of course, the first time I ever went to their ground, I went decked out in full-on Wimbledon gear, Wimbledon hat, Wimbledon scarf, Wimbledon everything. And I got some funny old looks. And I just did it for the banner. There was barely anyone there anyway. But the best bit of my trip was speaking to Danny Cowley, Lincoln manager, after the game. And to do the interviews down at NKU, stand in the tunnel. And at the bottom of the tunnel was who? Of course, it was Chief Winky himself. And he was watching the replays on TV and he was just screaming, "They don't want us to go up. They don't want us to go up." And I was just standing there going, "Too fucking right, you thieving cunt."
Yeah. You're supposed to be impartial.
Yeah, well, no. Well, you know, I stuck around for Danny Cowley. We had a laugh. We made sure everyone from Milton Keynes knew that we were loving life. And yeah, he invited me up to his promotion party. So yeah, I'm off to report on that the weekend. Look forward to it.
Enjoy.
Yeah, and gents, that's pretty much it. Who wants to finish it off?
Have a go, Harry. Do the bye for now. Go on.
Bye for now.
It's the best team in London. No, the best team of all. Every